Let's rise. us pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, keep us from walking in idleness and encourage us in our Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the vocations to which you have called us here on earth. Grant us the will and the strength to fight the good fight of faith to which we have been called by your Holy Spirit, and keep us ever in your word, which is the sword of the Spirit. Continue to watch over and bless all who have served our nation in the various branches of the military. Grant that we may honor and respect them for the sacrifices that they made in defense of our nation and in protection of their families. Watch over the sick and all who suffer various kinds of illness. Comfort those who mourn and give peace to those who are dying. We remember those who have asked for our prayers, especially those who are grieving the death of loved ones, including the family and friends of Eileen Ging. Father, bring them comfort, reassurance, and peace. And also we pray for those who are facing or recovering from health concerns. Robert Waldron, Trevor Sullivan, Scott Pariseau, Jasper Sugg, Bob and Ann Minock, Marilyn Stargard, Betty Owens, Susan Hollingsworth, Lenore Stevens, Jane Tylenda, Cloyce and Marge Horton, Daniel Sawyer, Gloria Peterson, Helen Hotaki, Diane Gasper, and Bev Holsing, Carol Laramie, Jerry Eric, Rose Laramie, Laura Anderson, Richard Cobb, Zach Endress, Fred Rohrbach, Cheryl Timlin, Bob and Linda Goldthorpe, Jerry Elsner, Ann Harper and Mike Schinnebarger, Gary Kane, Mary DeVoris, Bernita Corbett, Karen Barker, John and Eunice Smith, Reverend Dr. Paul Meyer, Priscilla McFall, Ian, Heather, and Dick. And we continue to pray, O Lord, for those who are in hospice care, Mr. Cagle and Ron. Grant them peace and faith as they await your call home. We pray for our president and all local and world leaders. Grant them wisdom and good judgment in carrying out the responsibilities of their offices. We pray for those who serve our nation in branches of the military here at home and abroad. Watch over and protect them and defend them. And we pray for those who serve our Lord's church in the mission field. Grant them strength to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who have yet to hear of the good news. We pray for all. We give thanks for all who are celebrating birthdays and wedding anniversaries. And Father, we pray for Paul Cobb and are encouraged that he had a good PET scan result. We give you thanks for the flowers on your altar this day, given by Joyce and Bill Rolfe in loving memory of their parents, and those at the lectern given by Lloyd Jones, and those at the pulpit also given by the Schmidt family in memory of loved ones. We give you thanks for those who sponsor the Family of God Soup Kitchen this month, the Camden, Burstein, Honeman, Swoyer, and Mabley families. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. At this time, we would invite those of you who are not veterans of service to our country, if you would please be seated, and those of you who have served, please remain standing. Those of you who are seated, look around you. On behalf of Redeemer, we thank and honor you this day on Veterans Day weekend for your diligence and your service and your bravery. We thank God for you and for your commitment to your country and to people like us who oftentimes take you for granted. God bless you, God be with you, and we would ask you all now to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. And at this time, I would invite Ashley Leeds, our Director of Family Life, forward, please.
Today, we welcome, including kids, 17 new members into our congregation. Through either the new member class or just transferring membership. We're so excited to have all these new families join us in our congregation, in our church family. We're going to welcome them today. When I call off your names, if you could just stand up here. There's not a whole lot of room in this general area. So just stand in front of the steps here. And current members, take note of who is coming up, take note of their names, and join me in welcoming them after the service or in weeks to come. Make sure that they feel welcome and introduce yourself to them. Okay, we welcome Bill and Nancy Baldner through transfer.
Welcome.
Kurt and Jenny Beckman and their children, Katie, Tori, and Lexi. Katie was in the class. Tori was confirmed last year, and Lexi is in confirmation right now. Nancy Baldner's mom, who is not here today, but Betty Chulso. Suzanne Stock. Chris Vanderzon and his daughter, Alexis Vanderzon. Mark and Sarah Zerner, and Suzanne Madling Bayan.
Welcome. Dearly beloved in Christ, as baptized Christians, you are already members of his church, heirs to the covenant of God, which your baptism is both the sign and the seal. And now you stand before us to confess your faith in Christ and confirm your willingness to live a Christian life as a communicant members of this congregation. So I ask you to answer a few questions which I now address to you. Do you accept the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ, revealed in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, it's the only way to eternal life? If so, then say, I do.
I do.
Do you promise to pray for yourself, for your others, for your church, seeking God's guidance as together we strive to grow in knowledge and understanding of the faith revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures? If so, then answer, I do. Do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church, and do you promise to walk in the spirit of Christian love with the congregation, seeking the things that make for unity, purity, and peace? If so, then say, I do.
I do.
And to you who are the members of Redeemer, do you welcome these brothers and sisters into the community of faith as members and pledge to them your love, your prayers, and your encouragement as they live the Christian life with us, then declare, we do.
We do.
And now upon these your solemn promises, I, in the name of this congregation, extend to you the hand of fellowship and love, acknowledging you as a member of the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer and inviting you to receive the Lord's Supper and to participate in all of the other blessings of salvation which God has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome. And now we rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Good morning. Yeah, that was good. You could clap. Good to have you here this morning. And Pastor Randy is gone this weekend. He and his wife went down to Tennessee to see their daughter, Stephanie, and I'm sure he'll be back either tomorrow or Tuesday. And so we'll keep safe travel in our prayers for Pastor Randy and his family. In this service today, we will be welcoming new members, and that comes near the end of the service. So those of you who are here as new members to be welcomed, please be heads up about that when the time comes. We'll ask you to come forward. Coming soon are the Thanksgiving services, and we have a service on the Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and then, of course, on Thanksgiving morning, the 24th, at 9 o'clock. And we'll certainly look forward to seeing you at one or the other of those services. The angel tree is going to be going up soon. It will be up for sure by next Sunday. So those of you who want to get involved with the angel tree, keep your eyes open. It's usually in the hallway just outside the sanctuary here. And we are continuing to do the conduct the Thanksgiving food drive. If you've brought materials for that, the table is, of course, outside of the nursery, so you can put whatever you brought in that particular place. And with that, we would invite you to rise and join in singing our opening hymn. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, I am humbled and honored to be given a few minutes to honor some of the wonderful guys who served this country. It was 1939 when Albert Kraken enlisted in the United States Navy. He served aboard the USS Missouri and later served for almost a year in China on a river patrol boat on the Yangtze River. Albert was then assigned to the USS Houston at Manila in the Philippines, the flagship of the 7th Fleet. He was aboard this ship when it was sunk in the Battle of the Java Sea in February 1942. After 8 hours of being in the water and swimming to shore, he was captured by the Japanese and taken prisoner, where he endured the cruelty of his captors for over 3 years. The Japanese were known for subjecting their POWs to murder, beatings, summary punishment, brutal treatment, forced labor, medical experimentation, starvation rations, and poor medical treatment. From Java, Albert and other prisoners were taken like animals by ship to Singapore, and then transported to Pullman, Burma, where they were subjected to forced labor in the building of the Burma-Thailand Railroad, also known as the Death Railway. He also had a part in building that bridge over the River Kwai. The construction camps that Albert was forced to live in consisted of open-sided barracks built of bamboo poles with thatched roofs. 200 men were housed in each barracks, with each man having 2 feet of wide space in which to live and sleep. So imagine right now the space that you have to sit in that pew. 2 feet of space. That is how I'm going to run over 4 minutes. That is how Albert survived while at the railway. He suffered greatly and was afflicted with various diseases such as beriberi, dysentery, jungle fever, leg ulcers, and hepatitis, just to name a few. His recovery from all these afflictions is nothing short of a miracle. Then came the day that he was taken for dead and placed in an open grave with other dead prisoners. But by the grace of God, other prisoners on the burial detail saw him move ever so slightly. They immediately removed him from the grave, and again, he miraculously recovered. Upon completion of the railroad, the POWs were taken to work in the coal mines outside of Nagasaki, Japan. On August 9, 1945, the second atomic bomb was dropped on the city of Nagasaki. On that day, Albert and other POWs were ordered deep into the mine. They complied in order to avoid further brutality. Although they were in the depths of the mines, they heard aircraft flying overhead and sensed something significant was happening. Not wanting to be trapped, they evacuated the mine, only to find the camp deserted. What Albert saw was an enormous yellowish-green mushroom cloud rising in the air, raining what would later be called fallout. He and his fellow POWs walked towards the destroyed city of Nagasaki and were among the first to witness the destruction of that bomb. Albert saw the dead and dying among the ruins, and despite his condition, offered assistance to those who needed it. After the war's end, Albert returned home with a hope that never again would humanity experience that kind of horror. He was the recipient of a presidential citation, the Star for American Areas, the Asiatic Pacific Ribbon with 3 stars, and the Philippine Liberation Medal. This, my friends, is what we honor on Veterans Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hollis. At this time, we would ask you to rise, all of you. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Please be seated. We invite the children forward at this time. Good morning, boys and girls. Did you listen to Mr. Hollis's story? Yeah. You know, and there's probably thousands and thousands and thousands of stories just like it about people who served our country and by fighting in wars overseas. Did you all celebrate Veterans Day at school on Friday? Huh? You did what? You had a day off, didn't you? Yeah. And you didn't celebrate? Well, you know, very, very, very many people in our nation over the long course of our nation's history have served in our different armies and fought in different wars around the world. That's a very hard thing for a family to have their daddy or their mommy go off to service and not be around for a while. But many, many, many people have been given the call on their heart to enter into different branches of our military and to serve our nation and to serve and protect people like you and me. And they work hard. And we have to say thank you to them. We have to say thank you to them for all of the commitment that they have and the dedication they have to this high calling. How many of you have a daddy or a mommy or an aunt or an uncle that was served in a branch of the military? Okay? Two? what branches?
I think the Army.
The Army?
I think the Army.
Uh-huh. How about you? Worked on radios. Okay. Anybody else? You? The what? The Air Force? Okay. You? The Army? In the Marines. You see, if we look, we don't have to look very far to see people who have given their lives in our one of the different branches of our military. And you know, somebody else gave his life up as a kind of soldier to protect you and me. Do you know who that was? Who was that? Yeah. Jesus gave up his life so that you and I could be his people, his children, and be protected by him. And that's why we come to church on a day like this, a Sunday, to celebrate Jesus and what he has done for us in the battle against sin and a battle against the devil. And so today, later in the service, we're going to formally honor those who have served in the military from our congregation. But Miss Nicole is going to have for you a picture that you can color. It's of a bagpiper, and then there's a little puzzle on the back. Thanks for coming up today, and remember to say Happy Veterans Day to those in your family that have served.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set my camp up in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked out on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel." "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers, "but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. And the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "No, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Friends, the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. "But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made good your confession in the presence of many witnesses. The sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and the only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever.
standing for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel this morning is recorded in John chapter 8, beginning at verse 34. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father." Here ends the gospel reading. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, Jesus Christ, who truly is all in all to you and to me, as we just sang. Dear friends in Christ, the text for our meditation and reflection this morning is recorded in 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Last week we witnessed an earthly demonstration of the passion and the intensity and the commitment involved in political warfare. As candidates and their parties representing different ideals competed for the privilege of occupying the highest office in our nation, that of the President of the United States, the stakes were, as they always are, very high. The contest, of course, was fierce. The combatants and their supporters were passionate to advance and protect their differing ideals. Neither was at all disposed to giving ground or altering and abandoning their convictions. Each, sadly, stooped low at times to such tactics as insult, slander, and deceit to advance their cause. And sadly, such is the nature of political warfare. The fight is always intense, and many are the party soldiers who in the end are scarred and disillusioned by the process and often by the results. You know, over the many years of our nation's history, countless men and women have given themselves to the service of our nation in various branches of our military. My grandfather, my uncle, my cousins, my nephew, and my father-in-law, like countless others, committed themselves to helping defend and protect and preserve our nation and its citizens and its ideals by serving in various branches of the United States military. And frankly, the wars in which they served were messy business. Many warriors returned home, injured in body and scarred in mind and spirit by their experience. When necessary, they fought, and they fought hard. When necessary, they died too. Many of your loved ones may have died in the service to their country. And for them, even today, we weep, but we also thank God for their dedication and their heroic undertaking. You know, it's fitting today that we take a moment, as we will later in the service, to honor them with our thanksgiving and our respect. Contending for the faith is another battle. The faith as has been graciously handed down to you and to me by the Lord God is nothing short of outright spiritual warfare that you and I are engaged in every day. The good fight, the fight that contends for the faith that God's Spirit has implanted into each and every one of us as an act of His love and His undeserved grace, and that God has given to us in His holy word, is how He equips us for this battle. Unlike the military battles our nation and its warriors have fought over the many years of our nation's existence, the good fight of faith is an ongoing struggle, an ongoing spiritual battle in which you and I are engaged in until the day our Lord God calls us home to be with Him. It's a fight that demands intentional, focused diligence and dedication and discipline. The Greek word in the New Testament that's used for this spiritual battle, this spiritual struggle, is the word agonizu. And it's the root of our English word agonize. In Paul's day, when these words were written, the word had military overtones. And one Bible commentary describes its meaning in this way: keep on straining every muscle, every nerve in your noble straining in the battle for the faith. On account of God's love, on account of God's grace, on account of His mercy, He has called you and me by the gospel to be a warrior, to be a fighter, to be a contender, to be an agonizer for the faith that has as its one and only one saving object, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. In this noble fight, by God's grace and power, you and I are contending for the substance of the Christian faith that has been given to you and to me in the precious and the powerful Word of God, which, as the Apostle Paul wrote, is the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the offensive weapon of spiritual warfare. Jesus, who is the Word enfleshed, comes to dwell among us as one of us. He is the royal master who leads us forward in the battle against the evil foe, Satan. And while this good fight of faith is difficult and frustrating and tiring, the Lord Himself reassures us in His Word that the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against His holy church. That is a promise. You know, the Lord does not leave people like you and me defenseless in our fight against Satan. He equips us with protective armor for defense and with powerful weapons to go on the attack. In and through the fight, you and I are given by God to contend for the faith, so that at the end we may be blessed to receive the prize, the victor's crown, the crown of life, which has been promised to us by our Lord Jesus. The day that God called you to be His own by the power of His gospel, and to live under Him in His kingdom, is the very day that you were given to enter into this good fight of faith that even now you are still fighting. It's a lifelong battle, dear friends. It's a battle in which Satan will raise up any and every means possible. He will try to tempt you and me to give up in this fight, to submit ourselves to Him and to His destructive, deceptive, and deceitful ways of life. Our chief concern in this fight is to cling firmly to our Savior Jesus Christ. And that is a work that God enables you to do through the power of His Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Because it's in Him and Him alone that you and I are properly equipped and enabled to engage the spiritual enemies of our souls and to defend the faith that Satan seeks to destroy in each and every one of us. Our ultimate objective, our primary goal, nothing less than eternal life. The battle began the moment you were received into the kingdom of God by faith and through holy baptism. Already then, even if you were an infant, Satan was vying for your soul, seeking to destroy in you that which God, by way of His Holy Spirit, had purified by His grace. Let's face it, you and I are imperfect, but we're also redeemed and cleansed and washed clean by our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, in our spiritual struggle, we'll stumble, we'll fall, Satan will win skirmishes, and we may for a time lose sight of God's promises and be tempted to give up. But in the end, for spiritual warriors, it's the gospel and the gospel alone that is God's power for the salvation of sinners like you and me. And it's also God's power for the spiritual warfare in which you and I find ourselves throughout our lives. You see, relentlessly, Satan seeks to destroy our faith. He seeks to drive us out of God's kingdom. Friends in Christ, may that never be. Let us with our mouths boldly confess with Pastor Timothy that by God's grace, I am and I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, Paul says. I have kept the faith, and now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, the day of Christ's return in glory. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed in faith for His return, for His appearing. I say to you this morning, onward, Christian soldiers. Lift high the cross. Cling fiercely to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For at the cross of Calvary, the victory is already won. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.